Hilchos Mechira, the laws of sales, the 30th and final chapter. Pedik Shloshim, chapter 30, Halacha Aleph. Hamoicher, someone who sells, Shemocha Karka, that sold land, or in a talton, or a movable object. And the buyer acquires it without his knowledge. In other words, there's a third party here who is acting for the benefit of the buyer. The buyer isn't even aware that a transaction is being done on his behalf. And therefore, the seller is selling property, and he's selling it to another person, and there is a third party over here who's saying that I am buying it on his behalf. Yad halakeach al hayin, we say that the buyer, the one who's actually receiving it, acquiring it and going to have title of it, he has the upper hand, and therefore if he wants lakeach, the buyer wants, ein hamoichiach lazabai, if later after he discovers that something was bought on his behalf and he is content and consents to it, here we say that the seller cannot retract. The Imloidot, and if the buyer, after discovering that something was bought on his behalf, says he is not content with it, and he does not consent to it, and he wants to retract, Tavzal of Alea, the article would return to its original owner. Lafichach, therefore, Kaisen Shtala Moicher, Aval Pishayna Lekeach Iman. We write a document of sale, a deed, for the seller, even though the buyer isn't present. And it's the seller that's telling the scribe, write in the name of the buyer. And the seller is authorizing the sale for that, and then the buyer is acquiring it, even though the buyer doesn't say he agrees to it and he's not present there. We do that, and later the buyer can either approve it or disapprove of it. And always, it's the buyer that has to pay the scribe, even if he sells a field because of poor quality, and the buyer is therefore buying a field which is probably of inferior quality, he nevertheless has to pay the scribe. And the reason that the buyer has to pay the scribe, because the one who gets the better end of the deal has to pay the scribe, and it's always better, the Gemara says that it's always better the one who receives land than the one who sells land. And this applies even if the land is of inferior quality. Halacha Beis. V'chein, and similarly, ha'evet, a slave, shekona, that acquired something. Oy mochar, he sold. Oy nosa matana, he gave a gift. Oy nitnalai, or a gift was given to him. Yad ha'odein al ha'yayna. The master has the upper hand, the master of the slave. Imrotz, if he agrees to what the slave did, l'kaya mais, if he agrees to the acts of the slave, hari elu kayomim, then it's valid. And these transactions are valid. The Imloidotza, and upon discovery, the master says, I disapprove of what my slave did, but l'kol maisav, all of the slave's acts are void. Obadvarim bovad hushamakayim odim oimavatol. And it's with words alone that the master validates or invalidates what the slave did. Veinut sarach wikneis b'menuklum, and there's no need to ratify it through a kinyan. It is just by orally consenting or disapproving that the sale becomes valid. Halachi gim v'chein, and similarly, ha'isha, a woman, shemachra, that sold, or yinusana matana, or gave as a gift. Bein benichse baila, and whether she did this in her husband's property. Bein benichse tzoyim bazel shechnisalai, or the property which is called iron sheep that she brought into the marriage. And there's property that the woman brings into the marriage that's called iron sheep. And that is as part of the dowry. And it's called iron sheep because, for example, if she brings in a piece of land, and this land, the value, according to the value that she brings in at the time of marriage, for example, if it was worth $100,000, then if it later deteriorates, the loss will be, and the marriage dissolves, or he dies, and therefore she gets back her what she brought in, the dowry she brought into the marriage. And if she brought in property which is called iron sheep, then she would receive back exactly what it was worth when she brought it in. And that's why it's called iron cheap. It's like iron is therefore lasting. And therefore, if the price of this property that she brought went up, she's only entitled to what she put in according to the value that it was when she brought it into the marriage. And if it went down, she would still not take the loss. It is constant, has a constant value. And she sold this property. And she, of course, was not entitled to sell it because this is part of the dowry that she brought into the marriage. Or it's a piece of land that the husband designated it for the payment of her ksuva. Or if it's property that she brought into the marriage, and this is the other form of property that she brings into a marriage where it is not part of the dowry, and the property itself remains in possession of the woman, and therefore if the value goes up or down will be her loss and or her gain. However, the husband has the benefit of the produce of that land. That if the land produces something, the husband would have a right to that. Ben bekakois, or whether this that the woman sold was land, either metalpun or a movable object. V'chein imlakha, if she bought oinitna lamatana, or if was given to her as a gift. Yad habal al helyoina, the husband has the upper hand. V'imratza, and if he wants lakayim to approve of what the woman did, yakayim, he can approve of it. And some of the properties are his, so therefore she obviously could not have a right by herself to sell it. Others, even the nichsim alug, which actually belongs to her, but since the husband has a right to the produce, therefore he has a voice in the sale. And imratz levatel, and if he disapproves and he wants to cancel and void the sale, levatel he can cancel all of this. Aval habal, however, a husband shemacha that sold oinosan or he gave bein takash ichnisa leishta b'ksuvasa, the land that she brought into this, that the woman, the wife, brought into the put it in the ksuva, and this is the tzayim barzel that we mentioned before, and that is mentioned in the ksuva in the marriage document, that she brought land that had the value of so and such and such, and the husband went and he sold it, and of course. He doesn't have a right to sell this land. Or land which he designated for her, he assessed it, and he designated for her. In a case, if there is a divorce, and the difference, many things that she brought in as dowry, he's designating a piece of land that would pay and guarantee the payment in case there's the marriage dissolves and he has to return the dowry. He designated a piece of land if it comes to the payment of the ksuva of the marriage document. In every marriage, if there was a divorce, there had to be a payment of a ksuva, a lump sum payment at the time of the divorce. Afapisha konum yada isha, and the husband sold any of these three properties, and of course he wasn't supposed to sell any of these three properties since the wife has an interest in them or a lien on them, and even though later after he sells it, the wife also made the kinyan with the buyer. Acha shekima maisav, after she agreed, she said, I agree to what my husband did, and she even made a kinyan with the buyer. Harikol mashalos abatel, everything that was done is void. Neshihia meres, because she can say, nachas ruach hasisi labayli, I did this just not to get into a fight with my husband, I did it just to oblige my husband. And I wasn't really intent or agreed to that sale. And therefore, the only reason I did it is I shouldn't have a fight with my husband, because if I'm going to be reluctant to do this, my husband will say, so you think that I'm going to divorce you, or you're hoping that I'm going to die and you're going to collect, and therefore, not to get into a fight with him, I obliged and went through with the kinyan with the buyers. Halacha dalt machar, if he sold, oinosan nichsim aluk, or he gave from the properties that were brought into the marriage, but when they were brought into the marriage, they weren't brought in as properties that the husband has a right to, only to the produce, but not to the property itself. Ben Karkois, if it was land, or Ben Metalton, or there was property that was movable, a movable object, but it was considered as Nichse Melug, property that belongs, and goods that belong to the wife, with the husband only with the right for the produce, which is different than Nichse Melug. Nichse Melug, which is different than Nichse Tzayim Barzel. Tzayim Barzel, what's called the iron sheep property, the husband has an interest in the actual property itself, as we see that if the value of that property would go up, the profit would go to the husband. So that's why it's called as the dowry. And so therefore, the law that applies in the previous case was different, as we're going to see now, the Nichse Melug. So therefore, this husband went and he sold the Nichse Melug, this property that really belongs to the wife. Yad ha'isha al yoina, the woman has the upper hand. Ratzef she'agiz levatel, to make void what he did. Mavatla, she makes void and cancels the sale that he did. The im kima, however, if she agreed to it, maaseho, with her actions, kono halakuches, and the buyers have bought it, and they do acquire a title to that property. And over here, she cannot say that nachas ruach asisi labayli, that she agreed with only to please her husband, because in this case, the property actually belongs to her. And she is the only one who has a right in the property. And if she would agree, and therefore she doesn't have to agree for it, and she doesn't have to feel pressured by it, because the property is actually hers. In the previous case, that property belonged to the husband. The husband just designated it for the payment of a ksuva, or the property was brought into the marriage and was considered iron sheep, that the husband had an interest in the actual property itself in case there would be a profit in the property. So therefore, since the property is those properties, the husband has a stronger hold on, and during the time of the marriage, that property is really considered as property belonging to the husband, and that's reflected in the fact that the profit will be his. So therefore, she can say that she agreed to it only because to please the husband. And if not, she would have a fight with the husband. But in the case where the property completely belongs to her, she doesn't have to agree to it, and the husband would also be understanding. And therefore, there wasn't so much pressure. And if she agreed wholeheartedly to sell something that completely belonged to her, and therefore the sale was a valid sale. Halacha hey, Baal, a husband, shemacha metaltalin, he sold movable objects, movable property, shal nichse tzayim barzel, which were considered property of the iron sheep. But here we're not talking about real estate, we're talking about a movable object that she brought into the marriage. Oy metaltalin, shenosna loy, in the correct text, the commentators say should be shenosan loh mishaloy, that she gave him from his. And he went and he sold this. Afal pi sheinir ashoy, even though it's not permitted for him to do so. Im ovar, if he did transgress the law, umacher, and he sold it, einos, and he gave it as a gift, kon halakuches, those who bought it acquired it, ve'ena isha yichoy lahoytzi miyodam, and the wife cannot take those goods away from those that bought it. And the reason the commentators explain is because all of these objects of Tzayin Barzel, since during the time of the marriage, the husband has a complete right to use them. So since it's a movable object, the woman understands that he could use them up completely, and therefore there would not be anything left of them. And therefore the woman doesn't really count or expect that in case there is divorce, it would be returned to her. And therefore, if he sells it, the sale is a valid sale. V'chein, and similarly, yesh lo laba lim kakol mechosof. The husband can sell all his property. Afal pi shehem tachas yad shibud aksuva. Even though all of the property of the husband have a lien on them to pay the ksuva. V'im tova litroif terefes. And if it comes to a divorce and she comes to collect, she can collect for any property that belonged to the husband during the time of during the marriage. than when they were married. And this is part of the lien that every woman has on any property that belonged to the husband during the marriage. Elias, nevertheless, he is entitled to sell that. Elim Cain Kosva, unless she wrote Lalekeach to the buyer Tchila beforehand Vekonim Yoda, and she made a kinyan that excluded the lien from her on her, that was for her ksuva to receive payment, the ksuva payment that is paid by divorce, that lump sum that's paid by divorce, that she agreed to exclude a specific property, and she signed it and made a kinyan with the buyer of that property, then she cannot later on go and collect it. Halacha va, ha'isha woman shemachra that sold her nosa, she gave nixit same barzel levaila. These iron sheep properties, she gave it or she sold it to her husband. Loikana, it is not a recognized kinyan. It's not a recognized acquisition. The yeshla lachza lahaytzim yaday, and she can later demand it in back. She can demand it to be returned to her. K'mayshem yana lahil chasishus, like it was explained in the laws concerning women, in the laws concerning marriage. And over there, they've explained the reason that she can claim that nachas ruach hasisi labayli, I did this just to please him. And as we said before, since in these properties, the nichsi tzayim barzel, these iron sheep property, during their marriage, the husband has a right in the property itself. And therefore, when she agrees to give it to him or to sell it to him, she feels pressure to do it, and she wouldn't do it. And they make a distinction between this and nichsei maluk, which the husband has no right at all in the property itself, only in the produce, that if she agrees to sell this or give this to her husband, then it is valid, because of here she should not feel pressure, because the fact is that those properties belong completely to her. Bezdin shemachru, a court that sold, a lakhu or bought, benichse yisayim, in the property of, in the estate in, of someone, and they did it on behalf of the orphans. They mekaka, whether it was real estate, bemetalton, or movable property. Vechein, similarly, hapetrupsen, the guardians. Bein shemino yisam bezdin, whether they were appointed by the courts, bein shemino yisam avi yisayim, or they were appointed by the father of the orphans. Mikach a mekach, what they buy is a valid bo, is a valid purchase. Mikar a mimkar, or what they sell is valid. Av matan osim ein akum, if the guardians give a gift, it is not valid. Shein adam noisim davar shein mishaloi, they're not entitled to give a gift that does not belong to them. But if they buy and sell, this they are doing for the benefit of the orphans. Halacha zayin. A moicher, one who sells oy hanoisin or gives the Shabbos on the day of Shabbos, the ain't tzarachleim beyantev. Needless to say, in yantev afa pisha makinoisai, even though he would be received, he would be punished with lashes. Masaf kayamim, their act is valid. The sale is a valid sale, even though it's prohibited to do it this Shabbos. The sale itself is valid. V'chein, and similarly, kol mi shukonu miyada b'Shabbos, if they made a kinyan with someone on Shabbos, for example, the kinyan of the kerchief, which is binding, which on Shabbos we're not supposed to do this kinyan, however one nevertheless transgressed the Shabbos and did it, a kinyan kayim, the kinyan is valid and binding, v'kaisul nacha Shabbos, and they would write a document to do this after Shabbos, v'noisnin, and they would give and have to fulfill what is written in the document by a kinyan that was done on Shabbos. We have completed the laws of sales with the help of Hashem.